Wrestle Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX Network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Hello, my name is Santo Chilaro, or Snato Gauro. A lot of you have no idea what that means. And you are listening to WRO, Wrestle Radio Australia.
Oh, yeah!
Make some noise!
Hello, doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Explosive pro wrestling, Mean D. Olsen.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world's heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, this is Killian English.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Welcome to the show. My name is Josh Armour, and thank you very much for checking out Wrestle Radio Australia. Wherever you've found it, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or over there at fnx.network. Now today, celebrating Throwback Thursday, of course, where we're going to do this from time to time. We're going to delve into the archives from our old feed and our YouTube channel and give you some great content from back in the day. And this one here is our interview with Rove McManus, TV star and massive pro wrestling fan. Todd Eastman joined me for this chat, and it was very, very cool. Bear in mind, it was around the time that Daniel Bryan sort of had been snubbed as far as the Royal Rumble goes, and, you know, everybody was wanting to see him in the main event picture, and it's fairly interesting to see how things developed, after we had this chat. So, but yeah, really cool stuff with Rove McManus, and talks about being a fan, being involved on shows himself, and some of the great people he's had the opportunity to interview over his time in television and whatnot. So very, very cool. And this actually ties into my other podcast, which I'm co-hosting with Joshua Liston, Social Audio Think Tank, a podcast about podcasting. And we actually discuss on our latest episode, which will be dropping about 24 hours after this one has, we're going to be talking about this actual interview and how we lined it up, because it was, I guess, 9 or 10 months into podcasting, Todd and myself, it was a pretty big coup to get somebody like Rove, who's a pretty big star on our show. So we talk about all that, and it's a very interesting sort of chat that I had with Joshua, and really fun time I have doing that. So after you've listened to this one, then maybe check out Social Audio Think Tank and hear us talk about how we basically got the interview done. Now, I mentioned on the episode with Josh Shooter a few days ago that we're going to have Sid Parker on the show. The interview is in the can. It's done. It was a great little chat. That will be out Tuesday, and hopefully that'll be our regular schedule now, having new episodes out every Tuesday, plus the odd throwback. We'll put these out every few weeks or so. And next up, it's going to be Dean Brady. So, Tuesday, the Sid Parker interview will drop, and the following week, Dean Brady. So head on over to the Wrestle Radio Australia Facebook page or Facebook group even, and leave us your questions for RCW's Dean Brady. Gonna take a quick break here for fnx.network, and then it's our chat from February 2014 with Rove McManus. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with a D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's mean edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. You don't need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
It is a real honour for me today, folks, to introduce our guest. He is a comedian, radio presenter, host of Rove Live, Rove LA, a regular on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, the king of what the, and is the man behind Roving Enterprises, responsible for producing Tens Before the Game, Rove LA, Real Stories, one of my personal favourites, that one, and The Project, which can be seen every weeknight on Australia's 10 Network. He is a 16-time Logie winner, including 3 gold Logies. But of course, to us, he'll be remembered for copping that guitar to the head, courtesy of Double J. It is Mr. Rove McManus. Rove, how have you been? How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I agree with you. Despite that exhaustive resume that I come with, that guitar shot from Jeff Jarrett is something that I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this interview. That was massively long.
Yes, well, you know, that's how we do it. You know, Todd, as ring announcers, we like to embellish, or not embellish, but, you know, give it the good sell there. And so we should for our guest. First of all, I guess we got to talk about the fact that you are a huge wrestling fan. Well, it's been well documented. I mean, you've never hidden your passion for pro wrestling, which is awesome. What drew you to wrestling initially? Were you a fan as a child growing up?
Yeah, it was the first WrestleMania, and I was in primary school at the time, and I don't know what it was, but it just, everybody watched it. It was just on like regular free-to-air television, and the next day, everybody at my school was talking about it. We were all amazed at the King Kong Bundy record-breaking 9-second match. Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, we'd never seen any of this before. And then we all kind of got hooked after that, and there was that sort of boom period in the 80s. And unlike everybody else I know, I just never shook it.
No, I remember when, I think it was in between the Channel 9 series of Rove and your Channel 10 series of Rove, you did like the Fringe Festival in Adelaide.
Yes.
And you came out to the Mankind's entrance music.
And yes, I used that for quite a while, actually, yes.
Yeah, I swear to God, I was the only one in the audience going, that's Mankind's music!
But I've always done that. Whenever I've toured, I've used Mankind's Wreck. I used the Evolution theme song, and Batista's I'll Walk Alone was the last one I used. And yeah, and even when I would tour with, I did a tour with Peter Hellier and Corinne Grant and Dave Callan, and I said to them, can I choose your theme music for each of you to come out to?
Oh, that's nice.
So I had Sable's theme for Corinne, Dave Callan had Kane's theme, and I was very pleased to give Peter Hellier a Billy Gunn's Ass Man.
Nice. Now, did you only ever really watch like the WWE, WCW, or have you ever been to like local shows?
Yeah, I have done local shows. I've actually performed as part of the EPW in Perth.
Oh, cool.
And seen a couple of their shows and watched quite a few of their DVDs, and even have done a day's training with the guys. So I've learned how to fall and do a Hurricane Rana, which I was very excited about. So I had seen a bit of local stuff. And while I was in Melbourne, I used to go and see a few matches here and there when I could too. At Festival Hall and at just up the road from me in Richmond at the Corner Hotel.
Oh, cool. Yeah, like Wrestle Clash, I think it's called Wrestle Rock.
Yeah.
Wrestle Rock, they're still putting on shows. They're back, and it's great to see them putting on, you know, some 18 plus entertainment for the wrestling fans in Victoria. Let's go to World Wrestling All Stars. It was 2001, and some of the big stars that came down under for that tour, like Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner's, some great names. You were heavily involved, Rove, in the promotion, and even had a spot on the Invasion pay per view where we mentioned earlier about Jeff Jarrett giving you the guitar shot. How did that come about? It must have been a dream come true to first sort of rub shoulders with these guys and then actually be asked on the show. Like,
well, it was this was post buyout of WCW. So these were all the guys who hadn't had their contracts picked up by the WWF or had decided they wanted to go through the contract. But it was all those guys picked up by an Australian promoter.
Sorry, we're just we're losing you a little bit there, Rove. Sorry, mate.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah, thanks.
So there was a bunch of guys who were writing out their WCW contracts, and an Australian promoter had the idea of trying to start his own promotion, being the World Wrestling All-Stars. So knowing that I was a fan and the fact that he was Australian, they brought Bret Hart down, and obviously being a huge fan of him, we had him on the show. I fought very, very hard to get him on. We had a lot of people working on our show who didn't want to wrestle on and certainly didn't think that he was, they were expecting more of a Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior type. I think the fact that Bret is a bit soft spoken, I think they were worried he wouldn't be a great guest. Through that he came down with Jeremy Borash, who was also involved with the show. And when they came back to town, they said, you know, do you want to be part of it? And through that, I met Jeff and Nathan Jones. How soon we forget Mr. Nathan Jones and
the homesick superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe he walked away. Still makes no sense to me.
I know, it's unbelievable.
And so I got to be part of, they did, I think, three tours, one of which I was part of on camera, and the rest I just got to hang out with them, and that's how I kind of got to rub shoulders with some of the guys that I've grown up with and watched and loved for many, many years.
And you've remained friends with Jeremy Borash, one of my actual favourite commentators. I really do like his style, and also love the whole Forever Hardcore documentary he made.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I've remained friends with him and Jeff as well, and I've been chatting with Jeff about his new project that he's got working on, his new organization that he's hopefully getting up with AAA. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens with that. And I still see Brett from time to time. I saw him at last year's WrestleMania, a bunch of him there, and a couple of other guys just over the years having had them on the show, like Mick Foley and Stone Cold Steve Austin and a couple of those guys, and then a few others like Colt Cabana and a few of those sort of younger guys as well. So it's kind of nice to know people in the biz. I get as excited about meeting them as some of them sometimes get about getting to be on the show and meet some of the other people that are on the show.
So yeah, speaking of like the WWE and TNA, what is your opinion on the product as of late? Because I've never heard so many, especially with the internet wrestling community, so much like outrage at the moment at the way the storylines are going in the WWE at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'm the same as everybody, that the whole promotion of WWE at the moment is quite bad. The whole Daniel Bryan situation has just been handled so poorly. I was actually at SummerSlam at the Staples Center in Los Angeles and thought it was great. I was happy with the outcome. I thought his win over Cena and then Orton cashing in made perfect sense. I had people that were not huge wrestling fans who were with me who were scratching their head over why I would be happy with that outcome. And I said, well, now you've satiated the fans by giving him the title, but it's been taken off him straight away. And I was excited about
the chase.
Daniel Bryan title hunt that was about to happen. And I think it was the Night of Champions that he won it back. And then the next night on Raw, they stripped him of it again. And then I went, this seems to me like it's not going anywhere. And that maybe they don't have a long-term plan for this. And I've felt since day one, they don't particularly think, you know, the whole storyline of he's not the face, he's not worthy of being the face of WWE. I think there's more truth to that than we think. You know, when you see those yes chants, there is I haven't seen anything like that since the days of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, I was about to say, I haven't seen anything like that since the what chants.
Yeah, exactly. And for a guy to be that over and they just refuse to do anything with it is really stupid on their part. And I'm one of those people that is really upset by it. And so, to be honest, like I was glad I didn't buy the Royal Rumble, and it seems it was a wise choice. I haven't really bought many of the last pay-per-views over the last few months because of where it's headed. I'll watch Raw, but I'm not going to shell out in America what is $50 for a pay-per-view when I'm not happy with the storylines and the content and where the product's going. And I can understand why people like CM Punk have kind of packed their bags and walked out. As well as, you know, here we are on our way to WrestleMania 30, and I'm looking at where it could go on paper, and I just can't see it.
Yeah. What do you think about the whole CM Punk thing? Is it a shoot? Is it a work? I mean, that's the question that's going along.
At first I thought it was a work. I mean, I still have people who say to me that the first time he walked up out after, I think it was after TLC when he beat Cena.
Yeah.
Was, you know, that was all part of that was all a shoot. And I thought, if anyone who knows the Montreal Screwjob outcome knows that if a man's contract is up and he's definitely leaving, there's no way that Vince McMahon is putting a title on him and up with it. So at first I thought going into WrestleMania, which is the biggest payday any of them are going to have, he'd be a guarantee on the card in some sort of major main event spot. The idea of him walking out of the company 2 months before that, I didn't quite believe. But as time rolls on, it looks like, well, maybe he was. The more I hear about it, the more I hear there's a lot of things he was asking for and he was being promised and that didn't happen. And so maybe it is all legit.
Yeah, I'm still of the opinion is if you don't hear of him meeting anyone or seeing him anywhere near the Chicago Raw, then it's definitely real.
Yeah, I've heard they've intentionally held off Undertaker's return till then in the hopes that it will stop the crowd from chanting. The fact that they haven't, I think Bad News Barrett made a reference to it, but other than that, they've kind of kept pretty quiet about it. So unless it's a really well done work, it sort of seems at the moment that it's something they're trying to push under the rug. But and in the end, it would be, I'm not sure what the outcome would be. Is it him versus Triple H, which is what they were planning anyway? And I don't know that gives it any more build-up than it needs.
Yeah, well, I've heard that, and I've also heard that now they're just going to give him Kane.
Which doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of, that again is evidence of where things are at. You should be able to, and I know that the way things work at the moment is so much quicker than it used to be. The turnaround is so much quicker. But it seems like there is no long-term feud happening. That, you know, that's one of the problems I've almost had with Elimination Chamber being between the Rumble and WrestleMania. They talk about the Rumble being the start of the road to WrestleMania, but when you have the Elimination Chamber and all bets are off as to who could be champion and who could be going in as number one contender, you go, well, how can I invest in, you know, what could be, whether you like it or not, Batista versus Orton, or is it going to be Daniel Bryan versus Orton? You need to, you know, to then sort of try to ramp up, what, 10, 12 matches for WrestleMania, and they've got 4 weeks to do it. They make it tough for themselves.
That being said, though, I listened to John Cena today on Steve Austin's podcast, and they'd already pre-sold 60,000 seats just on the fact that Batista was at the event.
Yeah, and look, you know, at the end of the day, people can complain all they want. You know, I don't know that many people like myself are putting their money where their mouth is and saying, well, I'm not going to buy the pay-per-view because, you know, I'm not happy where things are. I'll find out about the results and I'll keep an eye on it. But you know, there was even a couple of years ago, I didn't even order WrestleMania because I was looking at it going, it's just not there. There's no other choice at the moment unless you're going to TNA. It's not like the days where you could flip over to WCW. But I guess until such time as, you know, the fans kind of either get really vocal as they are pro Daniel Bryan, but they also need to be just as vocal as they were with Orton and Cena and Batista's win of the Rumble. It needs to kind of be kept up and, you know, make the WWE accountable if fans aren't happy.
Being that you split your time between like US and Australia, will you be getting the WWE Network for over there?
I think I will. I've looked at it. I haven't kind of committed to doing it just yet. I'm just kind of doing the math on it and going, oh, $10 a month, I guess, you know, I don't buy that many of the pay-per-views at the moment. I haven't been anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea of, well, all it would take is, you know, if I was even going to buy 3 or 4 pay-per-views during the year, then I've kind of made my money back on it. So, but at the same time, I can't keep up with the amount of content that I can get for free, you know, with Superstars and Main Event and Raw being 3 hours and SmackDown,
Rove are just absolutely brutal for me. I find 2 hours is a comfy viewing time, but 3 is a bit much, I think.
Especially when the whole idea when they did it, they said it's going to give other talent a chance to kind of step up and have a bit of on-air time. And they've done it a little bit with, you know, I'm glad to see that Usos doing as well as they are. I think that's great. But then there's a lot of other guys on the roster who are just getting, you know, booked to do double duty, or, you know, there's more of the guys that you see all the time anyway. It's not like suddenly, you know, Zack Ryder's getting more camera time or anything like that.
Yeah, that's why I've said a while ago that they should just go back to the brand split.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they've got the talent there, and even with NXT, they've got plenty of people that are waiting, ready to go. And yet, you know, then they completely job out someone like Damian Sandow, who's a fantastic character and a brilliant wrestler anyway. And then, you know, I'm all for the idea of, well, not everybody who has the Money in the Bank contract gets to cash it in and win. It's nice to sort of see that it's not always a guarantee. But the way they went about it, he was just completely jobbed out on the way to it. And then afterwards, they've done nothing with him. So they've also got a lot of guys there that they're just absolutely wasting, and they've got 5 hours of content with their 2 main shows that they could use guys like that.
Exactly right. And now they've had Emma from the Australian Emma has now debuted in WWE. And what I've been saying for a while is, like, I'll watch your Raws and your SmackDowns, and I'll sort of – sometimes I'll glaze through them or that, but NXT, I'll actually watch the whole show. And maybe that's only because it's an hour.
Well, it's an hour and you don't get all the fluff around it. You know, the backstage vignettes are exactly as they should be, which is backstage interviews pre-promoting the matches that are coming up. There's so much of the, you know, it's Stephanie and Triple H and they're plotting and scheming in their office or something with Brad Maddox, and then you're sitting there going, but there's a cameraman there. What, are we meant to believe that there's a camera backstage filming them on this big screen that's being played to the crowd in the arena with the idea of, oh, well, no one's going to find out that we're plotting this or plotting that?
Yeah,
so some of that backstage stuff doesn't quite work anymore for what it's, especially when it comes to promoting what's meant to be coming.
Well, that reminds me of the whole thing on Impact with Sam Shaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Being the whole pretty much Dexter, and then as if she wouldn't find out that was going to happen to her.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I mean, that was, you know, and that's an idea that's been sitting there since, I think, Nitro were the first to kind of do that, to kind of make it look like, oh, we're showing you backstage.
Yeah.
And it used to make sense, but now I think, you know, the idea of the superstars, the wrestlers, actually just having a bit of microphone time, and they did one with Titus O'Neil this week on Raw, and that's good to see, and give them more mic time is only going to help these guys build up their verbal skills and help develop their characters more than, you know, doing all the backstage vignette stuff that doesn't helped as much.
Yeah, and Renee Young, she's a great interviewer I've found backstage, and she's been a wrestling fan for some time, so she's not just somebody who, you know, went for an audition call and got the role and is backstage at NXT. She really loves what she's doing, and I think it shows in the emotion and the way that she approaches the talent with her questioning and her interviews. I think she's brilliant. Really good.
Yeah, I agree. I've really enjoyed it. Normally when you see a new person backstage who's taking on that sort of interviewer role, normally, yeah, you do roll your eyes and you do sort of look at them as someone who doesn't know what they're doing or is quite clearly doesn't care. But you're right, she really seems like she genuinely wants to be there, and because she's a fan, she knows what her role is and how she's meant to be getting the storyline or the character over. And I think she does a good job of it in a very limited way. She's not a character herself. She just does what she needs to do and does a great job of it. You know, I like the idea of also, you know, Titus O'Neil saying, you know, I smell great. Go on, smell me. Go ahead. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knock yourself out. You know, stuff like that you can do with her is really good. I think it works.
Now, moving on sort of like to TNA, and a lot of your friends that were there sort of dwindling away. What do you actually think of that product at the moment?
Well, I think, you know, everything that you see on camera seems to be very much what's happening on camera. It just seems like it's a leaky boat and they're in trouble. And, you know, there was after Sting left, I think there was a storyline on the next Impact with Magnus saying to Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, you know, if you lose this match, you too will be fired. And even though, quite obviously, it's a storyline, the stakes aren't there, because I'm looking at it going, you know, well, I don't think as a company you could afford to fire these guys, even if there was some sense of, well, maybe their contracts are up and we don't know, or the storylines they would be fired. The roster there is really dwindling, and the guys, they've always, I think, done very well with a smaller roster.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, it seems it's getting really, really shallow, and it's starting to backfire on them a little bit, because it's hard to kind of come up with fresh ideas and fresh matches.
Yeah, I remember watching that episode and thinking, oh, shit, are they losing two more people?
I know, and if that was to happen, you'd go, well, now, you know, is Bud going to get in the ring now? What are we going
to
get of people?
It was like, well, how do they build up AJ for almost 2 years being on and off camera very sporadically, building him up for a huge thing and then not re-sign him?
Yeah, and then also that idea too. I mean, they really have to stop trying to be anything more than they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that's one of the things. You look at NXT. One of the things I love about NXT is those fans are so into the product. They know the characters. They support the matches. It's obviously a really small venue that they're in. They have their own chants that they do. You know, when you go and watch Impact, it's like they're trying to be Raw. They're trying to be bigger than they were, than they are. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, and so when you see even storylines, like the AJ storyline was the CM Punk storyline from 2-3 years ago.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and, you know, they can't do that. They can't get away with that. And why they don't actually just openly talk about the WWE and say that we are the other guys, we are the alternative, and actually, you know, they're trying to play WWE's game where they pretend the other guys don't exist, or if they do, they don't quite mention them by name.
Yeah.
It's silly. I kind of think they can get away with actually calling the WWE out. It was one of the things that worked really well before. Yeah, that's true. They used to, but now they've kind of stopped doing that. I think it's to their detriment.
So, sort of moving on, like, being that you do live in Australia and sort of in Los Angeles, have you caught any of the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla shows over there? I know some actors have actually been spotted at those crowds, and they are some of the best wrestling in the country, in the world, really.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things. I haven't had the chance to do that. There is a show called Lucha Vavoom, which I do go to regularly, and that is one of the greatest nights of entertainment you will ever see. Anytime I have a friend in town and they have one of the shows on, I will always take them down, because you just can't. It's so hard to describe, and I always just say to them, just trust me, just come along. I will be wearing a mask. You'll have to deal with it. Yeah, but there is some really great local stuff in LA, and I'm hoping to see a lot more of it than I have.
Colt Cabana's heavily involved in Lucha Vavoom. Am I right there?
Yes, he is. He's under a mask. Oh, spoilers. But, yes.
Oh, Matt Classic.
Matt Classic. I've got one of his T-shirts. I love it. Yeah, he does. He does do that quite a bit with his, and he's got a mini as well, which is great. Who else is there? Oh, Dirty Sanchez is one of my favorites. The Crazy Chickens are fantastic. They've got some, and Cassandra, who was, if I'm not mistaken, the first ever, transgender, wrestler.
Yeah.
And, it's still great. Still got it in the ring. Can do incredible leaps off upper balconies onto the floor and, you know, elicits many a holy shit chant on the night. you'll always get some surprise people who will turn up, and sometimes it's some legends of the industry, and other times it's people, you know, really well performing in a way that you wouldn't otherwise get to see, and it's great.
So you were also smart enough to get paid to go to WrestleMania for Jay Leno. So did you spend the whole week there for it, or was it just the Mania?
I did the Fan Fest as well. Did Mania. Didn't get to do Raw the next night. We had to head back to start editing the next day. That was my first time being at Mania, and it was great because it was the full backstage treatment and getting to, you know, an all access pass to being in the arena and around everything that's going on. I mean, it's so big and so overwhelming that it was tough to kind of have that being my first time. I went the last WrestleMania, 29, just as a fan, and that was great to get to actually embrace it and celebrate it that way. Because with Leno, we had a camera filming, and I think like we missed the start of the show because they wanted to be right up the top to get a particular shot in the, you know, opening match, which is, I think, Edge versus Alberto Del Rio. We were trying to set up a shot where I was right at ringside, which they had set up, but it meant I was moving through the crowd when the opening match is happening. I'm going, what? They've opened with the world title match. This is ridiculous. What if the title changes and I'm too busy having to film something for the camera? It was hard to kind of get my heart and soul into the night itself.
Edge's last match, that one.
And who was to know? And even when he did his farewell speech and he said, you know, but it'd be nice to know that my final match was headlining at WrestleMania, and you go, well, because it was the world title match, but they opened with it. And someone on the night said, one of the organizers that we were dealing with said, oh, yeah, they're opening with the world title match. And I thought, I think you've got that wrong. You must mean the US title or something like that. And when they did, I was like, that doesn't make sense to me.
But then
because it wasn't quite, you know, Undertaker versus Triple H or something like that as far as the two names. But you go, it's a world title. If you treat it as a curtain jerker, then you're really diminishing what that belt means.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been the Daniel Bryan Sheamus one.
Well, yeah, exactly. It must be quite gutting to turn up on the day and go, oh,
17 seconds?
Not be on anymore.
17 seconds? Oh, really?
Okay. Or at least, his first one, that first one was, oh, and you're not even going to be on camera. It's now going to be the dark match, and it's going to become a lumberjack match, so it's kind of don't even bother. But the same thing they had with last year was the mixed tag with Tons of Funk and against the.
No, that got cut completely, didn't it?
Yeah, the match got dropped completely.
Yeah.
And that's when you sit there going, if the show is 4 hours, you must be able to plan these matches. And what I heard was it was Punk and Taker went long.
Yeah.
But you go, you've got 4 hours. One match going even 10 or 15 minutes over shouldn't make a difference. But then when they've got all this music and video packages and I think PVD performed and stuff like that, you go, well, then, you know, you shouldn't be cutting matches on the night. That's just bad, bad form.
Yeah.
Now, Rove, as supporters and performers, Todd and myself, in Australian wrestling, being that we're involved with RCW down here in Adelaide, we would love nothing more than to see an Aussie pro wrestling product in some way, shape or form broadcast, you know, to the masses on television. Do you believe in this day and age with, you know, WWE having the market share that it does, do you think there's any likelihood of an Aussie network or production company, wink, wink, maybe picking up an Aussie promotion or creating one even?
I would say it's probably the latter. It might be a creating one. I think, I have had discussions or have had people approach me about it before. And even, you know, when I have appeared at the, like an EPW event in Perth, then I do hear from people in Adelaide and I do hear from people in Melbourne. I do hear from people in Sydney going, well, we've got organisations here too. So what you would need is some way of combining all the best talent from all those organizations, using them as like the territories, the indies, to kind of build up the stars who then all get to be on the one big show, whatever that might be. I think just kind of picking one of the pre-existing organizations and giving them a television contract might not be the best way to go. Yeah. But the idea of there being a local show, absolutely. I think in a lot of ways it's kind of surprising. You know, with, you know, cable and even 31 and digital television, that there isn't some small 1 hour slot somewhere that someone isn't willing to kind of hand over to the wrestler.
Especially when we have the talent we have. We've got so many guys at the moment wrestling in Japan, and Ryan Rollins is in AAA at the moment. You've got Matt Silver or Buddy Murphy in NXT, and Emma just debuting on the Raw roster. There's a lot of a talent. A lot of Australian talent that they could be showing.
Yeah, and it's like anything. It's like the whole reason I started the show I was doing 15 years ago was based on the fact that I like a particular type of show, the, you know, talk show genre, but we could only get the American version of it, and it spoke to an American audience with American guests and made American jokes, and that's okay to a certain point, but it was like at some point, it would be nice to have a show that talks to the local audience that is here. And so the idea of making a local version of that sort of thing, like a no-brainer. And I think the exact same can be said for wrestling. I mean, how many tours have to come down here and completely sell out before someone wakes up and takes notice of it?
I was actually thinking about that today. I was like, we get like Graham Norton show and the Ant and Dec weekend takeout, I think it's called, or something like that. But you just don't see the Australian version of that anymore.
That's true. And, you know, and the same can be said for wrestling. You know, there used to be the old
WCW.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, there was an Australian scene, you know, back in the day, and they would get a lot of the US wrestlers like, you know, Killer Kowalski and Bulldog Brower and guys like that who would actually be up against local guys in the same way that it always worked back in the old territory days. And I think Channel 9 used to air it back in the, I think, like the 50s or the 60s. And they re-released them all on DVD a few years back.
Yeah, I've got a few.
There has been an appetite for it. And, you know, it doesn't need to be out of some huge, enormous arena or something. You can find a studio, a small space, or, you know, there's plenty of smaller venues that most of these organizations perform in anyway. You can chuck a couple of cameras in there really easy and make it happen.
Yeah, well, for part of the 60s there, Australia was the top territory in the world pretty much, you know, as far as drawing a regular house and getting the big names down here. For a while there in the 60s, yeah, it was even doing better than the States, you know, than...
Yeah, and they had local titles that were recognised, and a lot of local guys here who went on to, like the Fabulous Kangaroos, like went on to wrestle in the WWWF. So it kind of acted as a feeder territory to find talent and send them overseas. Long before Outback Jack came along.
I just want to quickly ask you, being that, yeah, this is a podcast, an online radio show, and you've done radio yourself in the past with Oz Stereo and Triple J and whatnot. I mean, would you consider starting your own podcast if you had the time, or is there just not enough room on the plate at the moment for...
No, there is. I guess that's the thing is that I realise it is a commitment, and it's not something you can just sort of start up and do it for, you know, 12 weeks or something like that, like you do if it was a TV show, and then you can take a break and do it again. You really need to keep it up. So it's something that I've thought about. I certainly, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are doing podcasts, both comedy friends and wrestling friends and people in between that are doing them. And, you know, the idea of I enjoy listening to them and I enjoy being on them. And so the idea of doing one myself is something that I am sort of toying with. And it would probably be a very eclectic mix of guests considering who I like. I'd like to think there's an audience for it out there. So yes, simple answer. It's something I've thought about. I have to get over the, and I might talk to you guys about it, get over the headache of, okay, once I record it, I have to learn how to put it through GarageBand and then upload it to iTunes and do all of that. And I guess once my brain gets to that point, I just go, oh, this sounds too hard. No. So,
yeah, that's
all. I can have someone who will just sit down and go, okay, here's how it is. I'll walk you through the first couple of times you have to upload it, and then you'll be fine. And really, I think once that happens, there probably wouldn't be any reason for me not to do it.
We've had enough headaches here as it is. We've had computers failing. We've recorded entire programs and we've lost them, and now we've got new software, new computers. It's all cranking now. But yeah, it is one of those sort of daunting things when you want to put a show together and then go, okay, well, because when we did our first podcast, it was back in, I think, March of last year, I basically just sort of learnt how to, you know, put music at the start and a bit here and, you know, cut the audio and threw it together and, you know, within a couple of days. And if you listen to that first show, it's absolutely woeful. But you live and you learn, you know.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, once it's one of those things like anything, I guess, once you sort of get into it and you get the hang of it, it also becomes a bit of a bug. Like I really look forward to putting the shows out every week. And, you know, whether it's Todd's MMA show or the wrestling, like it's really cool. And it also, I guess it's really cool to know that, you know, there's people that want to hear the show and actually look forward to that every Friday, Saturday morning. So, yeah, you do have to sort of keep it up. So I guess for us, we sort of think, well, What if people are hanging out for an episode? You know, we don't want to let them down. So,
yeah, exactly. And also, you don't want that stress of, like you say, you know, you like as we're talking now, you know, we've made this happen quite fluidly through the wonderful world of Twitter. But you know, after making it happen, you'd hate to sort of think you get to the other end and suddenly you're looking at, you know, you go to listen to the recording and it's not there, or something's gone horribly wrong and it doesn't work. I've had situations like that in the past where you've done an interview with someone and then I think in the very, very early days, it was our first show on Channel 10. We started on Channel 9, moved to Channel 10, and we did a pre-recorded interview with Kylie Minogue and, you know, pulled a lot of favours to make it happen. Couldn't get her into the studio, but she, you know, we went and did an interview with her on location. And I was halfway through the interview, and then so there's a camera on her and a camera on me. And the cameraman who was filming me just sort of walks away from his camera, like just steps back from it. And I shot him a look like, what are you doing? And then he just kind of started just fiddling with it. And I stopped and said to her, you know, said to Kylie, sorry. And I looked at him and said, what's going on? I said, oh. He's opened up his camera. Gone. Sorry, there's no tape. I forgot to put a tape in.
Oh,
so he's been recording, and there's no back. So we had to say to Kylie, "Look, sorry, can we start all over again?" And which meant we had half the time. So it had ended up being, and obviously in her mind, it wasn't our cameraman. We'd kind of got him from Channel 10. He wasn't associated with the show, and it kind of burnt a bridge where, you know, it took us good few years to get her back on, because every time she'd be in town, we'd say, hey, can we have you on again? And she was like, you guys don't know what you're doing. No.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, but in some respects, good to get that out of the way early. So it's not too bad. But, in the days when I was doing Channel 31, when I started out, there's a lot of times we were doing a show where, you know, as we're halfway through, I'm going, is anyone even watching this? I don't even know if anyone can even get this right now. You know, the signal is so poor and it hits such a small market anyway. There were some times where I'd sit there going, if I get up and walk off the set right now, are we going to get any complaints? Is anyone actually watching this thing? But we were there every week. No one got paid and we all did it because we loved it. And I think that podcasting is the new version of that. It's, you know, you can create your own content and get yourself out there in a way that's in many ways is a lot easier and a lot more accessible than anything ever has been in the past.
Yeah, I've had harsh words with Josh this week about this interview, saying it better record. It better record.
So you should.
I know. Well, you've got to lay the law down with these technical types.
Yeah, sure. It's like you're like a WWE tag team. You've been around long enough now where they go, you know what, let's split them up.
Oh, God,
yeah. Why keep this going?
Don't go there with the tag team reference, Rove. He's going to go to town in a minute.
Yeah, what, the I'm Sean, you're Marty? Yeah.
All right.
Oh, come on. Hey, now.
I'm just looking for a barbershop window.
And you guys would look great with those bow ties on too, those little bow ties.
Oh, thank you. One of a question, sort of to wrap it up. You've been lucky enough to sort of chat with guys like Stone Cold, your John Cena. If there was one guy throughout of all of wrestling that you could sit down and have just a one-on-one chat to, who would it be?
Oh, wow. At the moment, I mean, probably CM Punk.
That'd probably be the biggest interview in the world at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know him and not well enough to sort of be saying to him, hey, what's going on at the moment? But, you know, when we see each other, we say hi. But I've never actually, so I've had the opportunity to sort of sit and hang with him, but never properly sort of sit down and interview him. So that would certainly be it. Other than that, obviously, I think, you know, for me, I'm a massive mark for Bret Hart. I always have been. And so the fact that I got to interview him and to the point where I ended up mentioned in his autobiography is almost enough for me. So if I don't reach anything near that ever again, I'm quite fine. But, yeah, if in the here and now, certainly the guy I really loved is.
That's good. Now I'm going to have to go back and reread like the 700 pages of the Bret Hart autobiography.
Oh, it's in there. Trust me. It's in there.
Oh, look, Rove, to wrap up just real quick, you're heading back to LA very soon. What are your plans for 2014 and what can your fans expect from yourself?
There's a new show that I will be hosting out of the States, which hopefully people will get to see here. We'll see down the track. And I do have plans to hopefully have some other stuff later in the year that might be more based in Australia. And there's, without giving too much away, a show that I think for fans of wrestling like myself, if it was to happen, I think we'd all be very happy.
New backstage interview of her, AAA?
I'm gonna put the Rove in RCW. I think.
Yeah. The boys would be very happy for that.
Sounds great. I think it sounds great. But yeah, you know, I certainly have a couple of things on the boil. One's a definite, but the rest we'll sort of see what happens. And unfortunately, the nature of this industry is until it's a guarantee, until it's almost on air, you just keep tight lips about it. But certainly. There'll be plenty of opportunities for everyone to hopefully see me before the end of the year.
Awesome. And with all our guests, before we let you go, get the plugs out the way, the Twitter, the Facebook, all of that sort of stuff, Roving Enterprises. Get it out there, mate.
Well, sure. I am at Rove on Twitter. I managed to steal that one, which is great. InstaRove on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, Rove McManus. There's an official page there, which I do I do correspond with. So, I mean, Twitter's best, but certainly I'm out there. Obviously we've got the project on Channel 10. Channel 10 is still on air, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for through my tweets and my Facebook posts, and you'll keep tabs on everything else that's coming up with me before the end of the year.
And trust us, he does answer tweets.
Yes, this is proof. Absolute guaranteed proof.
Fan-friendly is Rove McManus. Well, Rove, again, we can't thank you enough for sitting down and joining us here via phone, via Skype on Wrestle Radio Australia. All the best to you in 2014. And, yeah, it's just been awesome to have you on the show. As fans, and as I don't know about Todd, but as someone myself who, well, yeah, Toddy, saw your stand-up show years ago. I mean, the show on Channel 9, the original Rove
program, still to this day, one of my favorites. And, the DVD gets pulled out quite often and, put in the PS3, and, good laughs are had from that one. It's great stuff.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. And, I appreciate you guys asking me to be on. It's always nice to talk to fellow fans about everything we love so much. We complain about it, let's be honest. But deep down, if we didn't love it so much, it wouldn't aggravate us so much. But it's always nice to get to talk to like-minded people who just love the world of professional wrestling. And I look forward to heading back to South Australia, where apparently, according to Who Do You Think You Are, the family tree show, I have distant relatives that were some of the first settlers in Adelaide. So it seems... I am South Australian royalty, so all the Farmers Union and fruit chocks I can eat for the rest of eternity. I will be the hidden new benefactor at RCW. I will be the MVP of RCW.
Oh, God.
Well, you are always invited, that's for sure. And actually, we're running over time, but I caught that Who Do You Think You Are episode last night, and it was actually quite fascinating because my father messaged me halfway through, and he said, your grandfather was in Crete at the same time that your pop.
Mine was. Oh, right.
Yeah, and I was just like, wow, mind blown. That's how small Adelaide is. It's still, still
very
a story.
Yeah. Where the more we try to leave, the more it keeps pulling us back in.
Yeah. And on that note, we will wrap it up here. So again, Rove McManus, thank you very, very much for joining us.
A pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. I thought we did really well then.
Yeah, that was fun. Very fun.
Thanks again for asking me. That was a
hit. I had a ball. I also figured, like, you know, I thought, well, yeah, you're a wrestling fan, so I mean, it's because I don't know how many wrestling fans, you know, you sort of know yourself or that are mates. So I thought, maybe you might want to pop on and have a yarn. And it was a heck of a lot of fun.
It's good. It's funny how the amount of people you meet, and even if it's almost like a secret handshake, as much as it, you know, I keep talking about all my friends were into it and now most of them aren't. But it's funny how all it takes is to meet someone who even just has a passing interest in it. And it's like a secret handshake where you kind of, you know, if you were lean across and just kind of go, oh, so what do you think about the whole punk issue? It's away you go. It's kind of a nice way to bring people together that otherwise might not have crossed paths.
Yeah, I run into a lot of them because I have an extremely large collection of wrestling shirts. So
me too. I was walking down the street in I can't remember. It must have been Los Angeles, I think. Oh, it was London. It was London for the Olympics. And passed a guy, and he had a CM Punk T-shirt on. And I just, as he walked past, I just looked at him and went, "Best in the world."
Yep.
And he gave me a knowing look, and I was just like, "Yep." It was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
I had I was walking through Adelaide, and I was wearing a Respect the Beard shirt.
Cool. And very cool.
My fiance was going, "I can't believe I'm letting you outside wearing that." And dead set everywhere we went. Someone was like, "That's an awesome shirt."
Nice, very nice. And that's the best part of it. If they do it properly, it's a cool shirt that isn't obvious.
Yeah.
As a wrestling shirt, and so you can wear it and not feel stupid. And then those people who do know what it's meant to be, suddenly it's like a cool little badge of honor you get to wear.
Yeah. Well, if I go out to dinner and it's like a nice place, I'll wear that the service station shirt, the Colt Cabana one.
Oh, yeah, right.
I wish that everywhere and get away with it perfectly.
I've got the Jewish star cult T-shirt, which I
yes.
like, and that classic T-shirt, which is a little more obvious as a wrestling shirt, but it's a nice fit, it's a nice cut. The man knows his merch.
That's right. He does indeed.
He certainly does know his merch. That is very true. Well, thanks again, guys.
Yes, thank you very much, sir.
And enjoy the rest of the week.
You too, and yeah, if you ever keen for a yarn about the old wrestling, then hit us up.
We'll do. Absolutely. We'll do. Appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
No worries. You have a safe trip over to LA, mate.
We'll do. Thank you. It's kind of out of my hands, but I'm hoping the pilot does a good job. See you, boys. Thanks.
See you later.
Thank you. Alright, that does it for this little delve into the archives. Thank you very much for checking it out, and if you're a long time listener, then thanks for having another listen. Hope you can share this one around and get a few folks on board with what we're doing here at Wrestle Radio Australia. That would be very much appreciated, as well as a follow on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU. Check us out on Facebook and join the Facebook group. You can give us a like and you can join it, so you can have a chat with us and also in the group. And on the page, we'll let you know when we are having guests on in the coming weeks or days, so that you can indeed have your input and throw your questions at our guests. And if you did enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or the RSS on fnx.network, wherever you have found the show. Leave us a rating and a review or a little comment there on fnx.network. We'd really much appreciate that. And yeah, also just a reminder, Social Audio Think Tank, myself and Josh Liston, we talk about the very interview that you just heard, how we lined it up, how we recorded it, and all that sort of thing. So especially if you are a podcaster yourself, will be worth checking out. Big thank you to Thunderstag on the theme music, Dane Davies for our main logo, fnx.network, and a big thank you to our guest and co-host on this throwback interview edition, Rove McManus and my buddy Todd Eastman. But most of all, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time with Sid Parker, my name's Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
Promos, what can we do for a bit this week?
Talk about
what about I'll beatbox and you, because you've got it all written down now, you can.
I don't
have
it written down, that was the other day. Times
well,
have changed.
Get it up in front of you. You got it up in front of you yet?
No.
Well, fucking, for Christ's sake, mate, you're looking foolish.
Chill out, mate. I need a new TXT file.
You need a new one? What do you need a new one for?
Because that's on a different computer, fuck's sake.
Do you want me to tell you what you need to write down?
Yes, please.
Zeitgeist is available on at dancarlszeitgeist.com.
Dancarlszeitgeist.com. Yeah.
Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Do you want the words in between this, or do you just want a list of the websites?
List of the websites. I'll fill in the gaps, mate. I'm
iTunes.
The King. iTunes.
FNX Network.
FNX.network.
Yep. Buy shirt, redbubble.com/people/dnkzeitgeist. Every second Monday, pregeist.
/people. Wait up, fucking slow down. /dnkzeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Every second Monday at 9:30 a.m.
Yep.
Pregeist. On YouTube.
Pregeist. YouTube. That's it, isn't it?
And you can send us questions and fan or hate mail at dancarlszeitgeist@gmail.com. So go.
G'day, it's Josh Armour from Wrestle Radio Australia. Join us every week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio and FNX.network for interviews with great Aussie pro wrestlers like Triple A's Australian Suicide.
I'm just really happy doing what I'm doing at the moment.
Adam Brooks.
Becoming the RCW champion, that really meant a lot.
And great names from the States.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Plus, more than 20 interviews on our YouTube channel.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Brand Adam Pierce.
A proud member of the FNX Network. It's Wrestle Radio Australia.
FNX. Oh, by
mate's song and I won't...
Shoot the Defence is the opinionated, entertaining football show with serious debates you're looking for. We have a variety of guests, from ex-footballers to journalists, members of parliament to athletes. Every month, former Chelsea, Swansea and Brighton striker Leon Knight weighs in with his opinions on night vision. So tune in on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, ShootTheDefence.com and the FNX Network, and let Stel, John, Mike and Stuffy give you a free football lesson. Follow us on Twitter at ShootTheDefence.